I don't know whether I've had one of those frustrating days. A few weeks ago, I went down and I needed some tyres. And probably less than a month ago, and I went out to a meeting on Friday night to King Standing. I was doing a meeting. And I looked at the back of my tyre and it was as flat as a pancake. And it was the very tyres that had just been replaced. So I pumped them up, went to King Standing, came back, got up yesterday morning, was really praying that this tyre would be fully charged with air. And the wife, Avril, that's right, said to me, "What's the tyre like?" And I said, "Oh, it's lost pressure." So I took it back down to the garage and said to the guy, "You changed this tyre 3 weeks ago." You know, trying to put the emphasis on the garage. "You changed this tyre 3 weeks ago and it's lost its pressure." And he said, "Okay." So he lifted it up onto the ramp. And then he came in, because I then went for a coffee. He came in and he said, come and see." And so I came and see, and there was a walloping nail like this stuck in the tyre. He said, I said, "Well, what's the remedy?" He said, £159, sir, for one tyre. To say I was deflated, well, that's quite good, isn't it? To say I was deflated was putting it. So I said to Avril, "I need £159. Well, she says, "That's okay. That's a year of your pocket money gone." So I'm in need. But life can be like that, isn't it? I put all my hope and prayer that this tyre was going to stay up. Such faith. But really, being sensible about it, it was obviously there was something wrong anyway. But sometimes we can go to that extremities of faith, can't we? And today we're going to see a young man who went to the extremities of faith. And I hope it encourages you, especially those of you who are parents, because I believe parents, good parents, will do anything for their children. Anything for their children. Providing, of course, it's good. And we're going to see a young man who was so desperate for his son that he's prepared to go to the extremities of faith. C.S. Lewis said this about faith. He said, "I had to believe that Jesus was and is God. And it seems plain as a matter of history that he taught his followers that the new life was communicated in this way, by faith. In other words, I believe it on his authority. 99% of things you believe are believed on authority. The ordinary person believes in the solar system, believes in atoms, believes in the circulation of blood on the authority of someone, because we really can't work it out. Scientists say, and we believe. Historical statements are made. None of us have seen the Norman Conquest. I hope we haven't, Kevin. You weren't around there, were you? Or the Spanish Armada. But we believe it, don't we? We believe it simply because people who did see them have left us some writings that tell us all about them. And C.S. Lewis says, you have no problem at school and faith when you talked about Julius Caesar and you talked about Napoleon and you talked about all these and you look and see the atoms. How many of you go into your house at evening and you switch the light on and you stop and say, I wonder whether this light switch is going to go on before I switch it? I bet nobody does. I bet you go there and you switch the light believing the light is going to come on. These did it in here this morning. They were bitterly disappointed because the electricians took all the wiring out. But they went in to switch the lights on this morning in there and thought, oh, where's the switch gone? They genuinely believed they were just going to switch the light on. We take a lot of things by faith, don't we? And I want to tell you, we have to take Jesus exactly the same way by faith, because I've never seen Jesus. I will confess, I've never seen him. I don't know what he looks like. I felt his presence. But in a physical aspect, I've never seen Jesus. But I've never seen Julius Caesar. Or Napoleon. But I believe they existed. And I believe in the historical records that have been done. And I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Bible is my fundamental stand in faith. and faint. And I believe in prayer. Obviously not some of the prayers that I prayed on Friday night about the tire. That was a prayer that really was a bit silly. But I know a woman. And she broke down. And she was on her way to hospital where her young child was. And she said to the Lord, "Lord, Lord, please, you have to send somebody. I'm stuck." And she realized she'd left the car keys in the car. How many of you have done that? How many have left your car keys in the car? And the woman on the phone said to her, "Has there anything handy that you can try and force the window down to get the keys?" She says, "No." She says, "Well, you're just going to have to pray that somebody comes along and stops." So she prays and she prays. And this guy comes along and he stops. He gets out of the car and he says, "Obviously got a problem, ma'am. What is it?" She said, "I'm rushing to hospital, but I've done a silly thing. I've left the keys in the car." He said, "No problem." Got out of the car, got a bit of wire. Within 20 seconds, he was in the car and switching the engine on. She says, "Thank you very, very much. How on earth did you do that so quickly? You really are very, very helpful to me and a very nice man." He says, "No, I'm not really a very nice man." He says, "The reason I got your car so quickly," he says, "I've just come out of prison. I was a car thief." And she says, "Thank you, God, you sent a professional." And I believe God has sent us a professional. And I believe his name is Jesus. And I want to introduce him to you this morning. Because we have a man here who was based on information that he'd heard. He'd never seen Jesus either. He'd heard about him. The whole place were talking about this young man of 30 who was doing miracles. Now, there were no videos in those days. No one knew this man. No one had seen him, apart from the people he'd bumped into. But you see, just like I said, this man believed the information that he'd received. And so, based on that information, that man decided he was going to walk, mind you, 20 miles to go and meet this chap. Because you see, his son was sick. And as a good parent, he wanted to do anything he could. So he would walk 20 miles. How many parents would walk any length of distance if they thought it could heal their child? You would, wouldn't you? There'd be nothing that you would not do. And having seen how they've grown up, you might have now decided that. But no, we know they're good girls. That's what they tell us. And what I'm saying is this. This man thought 20 miles was good enough to walk on a man he'd never seen. He'd never seen him. He'd heard about him. And I want to ask you the question this morning if you don't know Jesus. You'll never see him in the physical form. But have you heard about how good he is? Have you heard that he loves you? Have you heard that he's kind and he's compassionate and he's merciful? Have you heard that he came because he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you? On information you've received, I've got some booklets at the back called "Who is Jesus?" Please take one this morning because it's based on information I think will help you on your journey on life to discover, I believe, the greatest piece of information you need today is that you need a Savior. You need a Savior. And this man comes to Jesus because of information we've heard about him. We've talked about Nicodemus, how Nicodemus heard about this great teacher. This, by the way, is the final conversation Jesus has on a one-to-one basis in the period of consideration. We're going next week into the period of controversy, where Jesus gets into big trouble because he heals somebody. But he gets into big trouble next week. But at the moment, it's in the period of consideration where people are meeting Jesus because they've heard this good stuff about him. Remember, Jesus came to give us information that it might what? It might bring revelation. Jesus wants to enlighten you unto who he is this morning. He wants to say, "Listen, if you've never discovered me, that's okay. Why not investigate me?" I believe Jesus wants to give you revelation as a Christian. If you're a born-again Christian, I believe God wants, when you read your Bible and pray, I believe God wants to give you revelation on how to live your life. I believe God wants to speak to you in your circumstances. You know, I met a guy last night who was saying, listen, when I go on an aeroplane, he says, not the best of aeroplane, but he simply says, listen, I say to God, you know, I'm here. If you want to get me to the side, that's okay. But if my life is in your hands, if you don't, I just want you to know, put my trust and faith in you. And then he relaxes and enjoys, well, if you can, enjoy your journey. You see, he's found out that, listen, if we tell and talk to God, God, I believe, gives us revelation. I really do believe God gives revelation. I believe God will give you a peace and a presence of Him if you really are investigating who Jesus is. You see, I want you to notice the progression of this man. First of all, he only has a little bit of faith. He doesn't have a great deal of faith. He has a little bit of faith. He's heard about Jesus, and he says, do you know something? If this guy is true, he can heal my son. That's good enough for me. And so off he goes. Your faith does not have to be strong this morning, even if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian this morning, and you still don't really know this Jesus well, don't worry about that. The Bible says that God will give us faith. In fact, Jesus says, if you had the faith the size of a what? A mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, go. In other words, what Jesus was really trying to say is, listen, a little bit of faith can really do a lot of good. A little bit of faith. And God honors us who have faith. The Bible says without that it's impossible to please God. So he had some faith. And as we look at this man's journey in the next 10 minutes, he had persistent faith. In other words, Jesus heard the man's request, but didn't actually respond to him straight away. But the man insisted. He kept persisting. Come, come, come and heal my son. He wasn't going to go away until he had his questions answered. And I want to tell you, and if you're a Christian today, there's lots of problems in our lives which we have to battle through for answers. God doesn't always drop instantly an answer to us, does he? If only he was like instant coffee, Roy. Put the kettle on, bit of coffee in, stir it, and you're off and running. But God isn't like that. Sometimes he is. I believe in dire times, if you need a word, God will give us a word. But I also believe that he wants to build our faith up, and he wants to encourage us to keep on praying. Because if he answered your problem every single time straight away, the first time he doesn't answer your problem, you're going to be mega. You're going to put a face on. Because we're human beings, aren't we? We have to develop our character. And this man was not going to give up. I like this man. And thirdly, he exercised faith. You know, you and I are used to hearing, seeing is believing. I don't know if anyone's heard that. They keep saying, seeing is believing. But I want to tell you a better precept. Hearing is believing. Hear the word of God. Believe the word of God. And I believe it will exercise and strengthen your life. I believe hearing the word of God and exercising faith in what you hear will transform your life. Because I know that Jesus, through his word, gives revelation, gives reaction, gives a result. And so this man is about to have an encounter with God on a one-to-one. And here, he employs Jesus. He's come to God. He said, listen, I believe you can heal my son. Please. He seeks out the Lord and he begs him to do a miracle for his sick son. And here we see the love of a father who's willing to do whatever it takes to have his son restored back to health. Can I say this? Your eternal heavenly Father has done exactly the same. He has gone to the greatest lengths to restore you and I into a relationship with him. Can I tell you, 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross that you might know him personally this morning. God cannot do no more than what he has done. He has gone to the uttermost parts of the land to reveal his love for us. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. I want to tell you something this morning. Hearing is believing. God said, I've sent Jesus down to die for you. And if you truly believe that my Son has come to set you free, you can have life in all its fullness this morning. But it's not by seeing. It's by hearing the word of God this morning and by putting exercise of faith into practice. You see, Jesus says this. He said, listen, I've asked you, he says, to come and heal my son. And Jesus turns around. He turns around and he's protesting against the superficial belief of men who come to him only because they saw the material blessings that he'd done. He doesn't want people to come just because they think they're going to get something out of it. You see, he said to the people, you want me just to do another trick? You just want to see. They said to him, show us another trick and we'll believe in you. And Jesus said, no, I won't. Because seeing is not believing the way I want you to do. I want you not to believe in the tricks that I do. I want you to believe in the person who does the tricks. If that's how you want to put it. And he says to this nobleman, I'm not speaking to you specifically. After the nobleman's asked this question, he looks at the crowd. And he said, you're always looking for signs and miracles, aren't you? You're always looking for me to do something. You want to see the signs and miracles, but you won't believe in the person who's saying it. I want to tell you, friend, it's not the miracles and signs that count. It's the man who does them. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You see, the parable of the sower is exactly that. People receive the word. Oh, we'll take Christ. And the first problem comes along. What did it say? They immediately dump this God. They dump him. I don't know whether they've come to God believing he's going to change their life materialistically. I don't know whether in the sow of the seed Jesus is saying, you know, you cannot come to me and think that you're going to be mighty rich. Or you're going to have this or you're going to have that. You come to me because you have a need of a Savior. Come to me because you have to admit that I'm a sinner. That my life has not been the way that you've planned it, God. And I want to get back into God's plan. Therefore, I'm coming to you, Jesus, and saying thank you for dying for me. That you have restored the plan God originated in the Garden of Eden. And I want to be in that plan. And so Jesus is saying, listen, stop looking and seeing and believing in the miracles. Come and look at a man. Because if I lift up my hands, I can draw everyone to me. Friend, I don't know what made you come to Jesus. But I hope you came to Jesus because you needed a Savior. And you needed to have a relationship with God restored again. This man came to Jesus because he had a need. And his need was he was not going to let go until Jesus came. You see, this man knew that this boy's life was a matter of life and death. And Jesus continued the conversation. He was looking for a miracle. You know, there was a little boy. He greeted his grandma with a hug and said, I'm happy to see you, grandma. Now, maybe daddy will do the trick he's been promising us. Well, what trick is that? She said, little boy said, well, grandma, I heard daddy tell mom that he would climb the wall again if you came to visit us. Distance was no barrier for the nobleman to come and ask for help. This man, as we've said, would go anything to have his son healed. And I want to tell you, distance is no barrier for your healing this morning. Because let me tell you something. Jesus doesn't have to walk 20 miles and touch that boy's son. Just the very words that he says is good enough. Do you believe that the words Jesus says are good enough for you? But we're always looking for someone else for confirmation. If God says to you and you hear from his word, I'll heal you. You don't have to go to anybody else. God says he will heal you. Take him at his word. Amen. You see, distance is no barrier to our Savior this morning. Jesus is the master of distance. Not only is he the master of quality when he changed the water into wine, He's the master of distance. And so Jesus gives a yes and no answer. No, I'm not coming. I'm not walking 20 miles. But yes, I am going to heal your son. You see, Jesus wanted to know whether this man had to see a miracle to believe on him, or whether he would simply take Jesus at his word. Would he hear and believe? Or would he see and believe? Well, Jesus wasn't going to give him the option of seeing and believing. Jesus said, go, walk back 20 miles. I know you've just walked 20 miles. Go back and walk another 20 miles. I promise you, your son will be healed. You see, this was instruction heeded. Instruction heeded. And I'm telling you this morning, God is saying to you this morning, you have to believe what's written in the Bible. You have to believe and act on what's written on the Bible, because many of you will not see miracles or signs or anything like that. But the one thing that you can see is the Word of God through Jesus. And the Bible's Holy Spirit is given to us this morning, that when we read His Word, God will give you revelation this morning. But let me ask you a question. I've heard someone say to me, unless I see Jesus do this, that I really cannot believe in Him. Well, I don't know whether that person will ever receive that. Because I believe the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in the last days, God sent His Son Jesus. Do you know that the last word for mankind is Jesus Christ? And I don't think I'll ever see, may never see a miracle. But I know a miracle took place in my heart. And it was by hearing and believing. Jesus says, go back home. It's all okay. The nobleman didn't question or doubt it. He said, no, I'm not leaving here until I see you do this miracle. He said, okay. I've walked 20 miles. I've had a 10-minute conversation with you. You've told me to go. I'm going back home. Hallelujah. What faith. He only had a little bit of faith. He met Jesus and was prepared to take a stand. I want to tell you, Jesus will meet you instantly this morning if you want to know Him as your Savior. The man put his trust in what Jesus had said. And as he was going down the road home, I don't know what he was thinking as he was going down those 20 miles. But all of a sudden he comes and a servant's coming up to meet him. And he says, listen, I've got some great news for you. Your son is well. And he says, well, just tell me what time it was when that happened. And he says, well, it was X time. And that man knew it was the very moment that Jesus had said, go. You see, Jesus is the master of distance. My friend, Jesus is your answer to life. The Bible says this. And he entered his household and he believed, he trusted in, he relied on Jesus. That's all he had. He only had Jesus' word, hadn't he? Friends, we need to get this into our souls. Some of us Christians need to get this into our souls. All he had was a word from Jesus, go. God didn't give him a revelation. He didn't give him anything else except, will you take my word? And I want to ask you, will you take Jesus at his word? Because that is all this man had to act on. And don't forget, his son was dying. His son was dying. But there was something about Jesus that made this man totally trust on the word of Jesus. A man he'd never seen before. He'd only heard about in information. But that was good enough. You see, it is important to discover that this healing was coincidental with the Lord's words. Because it's the power of God's word that made that young boy healed. It wasn't the miracle in itself. It wasn't the supernatural deed of the gift. It was the giver who said it. Friend, I keep coming back and back this morning, it's not the miracle, it's the man who does it. The person himself is greater than the deed in which he did. This meant a walk around of a 40-mile trip. And Jesus only spoke his word. No faxes, no phones, no modems. But Jesus was the master of distance. We've now looked at three people who've had a one-to-one with Jesus. Nicodemus, who we believe came to Jesus by faith. The Bible never actually says so, but we believe by his account of John 19, when he begs the body of Jesus, that if he was going to stand out amongst the crowd begging the body of Jesus, we believe he came to some sort of faith. Last week we talked about a woman at the well who met Jesus, and we know she came to faith, but she not only came to faith, she brought a whole town out with her. And here we know that this man came to faith this morning, simply believing the word of God. As I said at the beginning of this series, on this period which has ended this morning, on a one-to-one encounter with Jesus, you have to consider his claims. You cannot dismiss them. You will either accept them or you will walk away. Jesus is no middle ground for anyone. You either accept him or you reject him. Friend, I've got to be not brutal, I've got to be honest. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life." But sadly, the next verse goes on to say that those who do not receive him are condemned. Friend, it's good news and bad news. A bit like Jesus saying yes and no to this guy. No, I'm not coming down to touch your son. But yes, I'm going to heal him. Friend, I hope you consider Jesus for yourself. As I finally finish. When the nobleman realized Christ could be trusted with his son, he committed himself and his household to Jesus. When he realized Christ could be trusted, I hope you can believe that Christ can be trusted this morning. I sincerely do. But if you do believe Christ can be trusted, then what does it take for you to come to know him? I ask you to take a leaflet this morning. We'll hopefully May and Autumn start an Alpha course where you can discover more about Jesus. But he's the answer to your problems. He's the answer to your needs. Because we need a Savior. We need to be healed, healed from sin. And God says, go, trust in my son, you will be saved. Take Jesus at his word.